What have we here?
Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 131, and this week's show is all about news. As always, I'm Mikey B, and I'm joined by my co-host, Danya. Hey, Danya.
Hi. Hi, Mikey.
How are you doing?
Pretty good. Yeah, really good, actually.
I'm glad you're back. We have so much news to talk about, so many different things. You're now talking to a post-Galaxy's Edge Mikey, which was amazing. But if you want to join us and get involved in the conversation, get a hold of us on Twitter at Our Radio Podcast, leave a comment on our Facebook page, send us an email through our website, resistanceradio.net, or leave a comment on this post when it goes up on hypeable.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook, download any 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. With over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, get the latest Star Wars audiobook for free, including Alphabet Squadron, which is a very unique book that ties into the new TIE Fighter comic series, where you get to see the Rebel side and the Empire side of a single story, which I think is pretty cool.
That is pretty cool, and a fairly unique concept as well.
Yeah, consider like they're in two different mediums. Obviously, they're both reading mediums. One is, you know, Alphabet Squadron is a book or audiobook, and then you also have the comic series. So two different mediums, but the fact they tie in so closely together is awesome. They also tie into the Battlefront 2 video game with Operation Cinder from the Idem Versio storyline from the video game, which is pretty cool. So Inferno Squadron is mentioned in there, which is nice. So cool. All the canon things are tying together in the books and comics and all the things. We've also launched our Patreon. Check it out at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. I'm doing a photo dump from Galaxy's Edge probably today or tomorrow. I've been going through my photos trying to weed it out to give you a decent amount without overloading you with like 300 plus photos. We also have our Discord chat and recording studio, movie nights and After Dark episodes. If you can't afford to support us via Patreon, that's okay. We have merchandise, t-shirts, and buttons available on our website. So, on to the news. So, I think we have quite a bit of news to go through. And I don't know if it's going to be in any particular order. I feel like it's going to flow a little bit. But I'm going to start off, because I went to Galaxy's Edge, start off with Star Wars Celebration Anaheim. Tickets have gone on sale. And some tickets have sold out already. Can you believe that? Like, within the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I know. Within the first five minutes, Jedi Master passes were sold out. And then within the first day, within the first hour, 4 day passes were sold out. So as of right now, Friday, Saturday passes are sold out for adults. And then you have Thursday and Sunday passes available only. Now, obviously, as things happen, because this is so far in advance, people can't always make it. So make sure you take a look at StarWarsCelebration.com to see if you can pick up tickets, not from a scalper, but from someone who just unfortunately can't make the convention. Star Wars Celebration takes place in August of 2020, so a little bit more than a year away. Now, Danya, are you going to try to make it to Celebration?
I think I will. So, obviously I've started a new job, so I now work from home and kind of make my own hours and schedule. So that also does mean that I can travel and move around a lot easier without necessarily needing to take a lot of holiday time. Like, I could feasibly fly out to Anaheim, work for a few days out there, and then go to the convention and then work around that a little bit as well. So, entirely possible that I could, but I will probably decide around the time they open media registration, probably.
Very cool, very cool. Yeah, it is definitely something, you know, I was at Celebration in Chicago this past year. Anaheim, obviously, Galaxy's Edge, Disneyland are right there near the Anaheim Convention Center. I've actually been talking to a lot of local people here about how are we going to get everything to California. You know, I'm bringing not only myself and my family, but also lots of luggage, including armor parts and stuff like that. So there's going to be a caravan, you know, in single file, just like the sand people from Kentucky to California is what the current what the current plan is. But definitely check it out. I'd love to see people there. I will say this. It was absolutely amazing meeting all the people at Celebration in Chicago. I know Dano and his whole family have passes, so they're all going to be at Celebration in Anaheim. Me and him have talked about it, so we're super excited about it. Love to see you all there. Speaking of other news about Anaheim, I guess maybe not Anaheim, is also that Galaxy's Edge, we have revealed dates. I know I'm jumping around the news here, Danya, but we actually have, Disney has revealed today the opening dates for the second Galaxy's Edge ride. Good news is it will be open well before the celebration while you're in Anaheim. But as you know, Galaxy's Edge opens up at Disney World on August 29th. So it's not open, but it's only open in California. But both parks are going to be opening with just the Smuggler's Run ride, the Millennium Falcon ride, which is freaking awesome. I rode it three times one day,
oh
and
my
three
God,
times another day.
Mikey.
Yeah, it's amazing. Me and Dan are going to have a whole Galaxy's Edge show one day, / I've been on his channel talking about it. It's awesome. You definitely want to do it. Plus, like, the experiences, I can't go into it right now. It's a whole different episode. Anyway, they're gonna open up the Rise of the Resistance ride. So they released the dates for this. So in Disney World, after the park opens on August 29th of this year, on December 5th of this year, they will open the Rise of the Resistance ride in Orlando, Florida. It will Rise of the Resistance will not be opening until January 17th, 2020, so early next year in California. They don't explain why it's opening earlier in Florida, even though the park land is opening later versus later in California. The only thing I can think of, based on a couple things that I've seen, I'll be honest with you, is I think as soon as California's was at opening point, they sent a bunch of the engineers and construction crews over to Florida to help get it caught up. Because at the grand opening of Galaxy's Edge in California, they showed footage of Florida, and it was literally a construction zone. Like, everything was still in construction. Like, streets weren't paved yet and stuff. So I have a feeling that they moved everyone over there, and they're just going to be like, okay, we're all over here. Let's just finish it up completely, and then move everyone back to California to finish up the Rise of Resistance, which, regardless, next time you go to one of these places, you definitely want to try to go on both rides, because Rise of Resistance is one of the biggest and ambitious rides that Disney has done to date, with it clocking in at 28 minutes long as a ride. So it's going to be kind of...
That's insane!
I know. Pirates of the Caribbean is only 11 minutes long, so, 28 minutes long for a ride. Rise of the Resistance. You get captured aboard a Star Destroyer, you got to sneak out, it's all the things. It's kind of awesome. So that is happening also in Anaheim, but not till January. Anyway... Any comments about that, Danya? Like, one, Anaheim, Celebration, and Galaxy's Edge, all the things. Any thoughts, comments?
I mean, I think it would be, like, a really good trip to do where you do them both all together. I'm really intrigued about the idea of a ride that's 28 minutes long. Particularly because, if you've got kids as well, how long will their attention span be for a ride that long?
I'll tell you this. I'm pretty sure, and without going into too much detail, because this is not the Galaxy Edge show, I'm fairly confident that they're counting that time as kind of like if you've ever done the Haunted Mansion, where, like, you walk in, there's the elevator where it's part of the ride, per se, and then you go through a queue, and then you get on a buggy, and then you go that. I'm pretty sure it's something like that, because apparently you start out... And then you get captured aboard you get captured, and then you get moved to a Star Destroyer. So I feel like that's going to be like the moving process, like an elevator or something that you're moving in through, walking through stuff. And then you get into a car. I feel like it's going to be similar to something like that versus it literally sitting on a coaster or something like that for 28 minutes. I can't really imagine. But it is supposed to be a very long and very intricate ride. Also, the AT-AT walkers that we've seen are not inside the park, or not inside the land at all. They are inside that ride. That was something that surprised me, because we saw early construction of those. And the more I learned about construction, because I've learned a whole bunch, not only for this, but for other things, is that they end up building the internal structures, like elevators and stuff like that, first, and then build the building around it. So that made sense that we saw the AT-ATs early on, knowing that they were going to be there, and then didn't see them in the land. But it is very clear where the ride's going to be, and it's a very large area that is kind of roped off, if you will, for it, which is pretty cool. So I can't wait till that opens and get to experience it, just because the entire land is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I really want to go. But yeah, like I said, I've got a little bit more flexibility now, so I might actually be able to plan to go out and actually get to Galaxy's Edge, which is really exciting, but we'll see how that works out. Maybe I'll be able to time everything together, but yeah, I've been trying to avoid too many spoilers because I kind of want to just experience it the first time now. So, yeah.
I will say this, like, I saw spoilers, but at the same time, I didn't see spoilers. Like, I saw enough of the land, like pictures, like we talked about the food, we saw, yeah, you know, stuff like that. You know, and I think all that stuff is okay to like kind of know about. And actually, I think the biggest things like to get spoiled on was like I didn't watch any of the like building a saber, building a droid, any of those experiences, because like to learn a little bit about it, like I learned a little bit about like you pick your color crystal, you pick these pieces, you put them together. Like there's a couple different like styles that you could choose from, so I think all that was okay to learn about. But the experience, you know, I think even hearing about the experience, I don't think I can even talk about it and do it justice. It's just so unique, completely worth the price. Not only do you have this amazing prop from it, you know, this amazing saber that's completed from the saber building one, but you just have this, the experience was just absolutely phenomenal. You know, I had my daughter pick every single part for my saber together, so it has some special meaning that way. I totally changed my mind when I went to pick my color crystal, completely changed. And then, of course, I had to buy extra crystals because, you know, you could take the saber apart, put crystals in it. When you put a new color crystal in it, guess what? The blade changes colors, which is freaking
that's
awesome.
That's so cool.
It's such a cool thing. Like, it really is. Like, it's such a cool experience. But again, like I said, I'll be posting a bunch of photos from it. Any of you who are friends with me on any social media, you probably saw me post a ridiculous amount while I was there. I was up bright and early to be one of the first in the parks on the days that I got to go, and it was awesome. Totally worth it. I can't wait to go back again, so much so that I may or may not be planning a winter trip to Disney World.
I would say I'm shocked, but I'm not shocked at all.
I know, like you know, California for me, you know, Disneyland is a vacation spot for a lot of people, but California for me is not vacation; it's family, which is awesome. But it wasn't a vacation, so now it's like, oh, we really should take a vacation and get away from it all. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. You know, post the family. Can we go to Disney World? And it conveniently happens to be that we said, well, we'll do it in like January, February, which is after Rise of the Resistance is up. So I'm okay with it. I'm happy with it.
I mean, anyways, if the timing is going to work out that perfectly, then, I mean, Mikey, you just gotta.
Yeah, I have to, right? It just plans, right? And I have to talk about it. Like, it's a work trip now, right? Anyway, speaking of Rise of Resistance, we also have some news about Rise of Skywalker. Luke Skywalker himself, Mark Hamill, has tweeted and said on multiple things, like when he talked to the Associated Press, that because the Skywalker story is coming to a close, Luke Skywalker had closure in the last episode. The fact that I'm involved in any capacity is only because of that particular aspect of the Star Wars mythology, where if you're a Jedi, you get to come back and make a curtain call as a Force ghost. He is saying that the Rise of Skywalker will be the last time you see Luke Skywalker in any Star Wars film, which I'm okay with. It makes sense. It's the end of the Skywalker saga. I would hate to see him show up for some random reason in like a Benioff or a Ryan Wilson, you know, series, just because it's Luke Skywalker versus it being something else. Like, you know, obviously, if there is reason for him to come back, I'm all for it. But, you know, it makes sense. Like, I'd be okay with it. Like, it's the end of the Skywalker saga. It's the end of Luke Skywalker and Anakin. And it will be a nice bow on top of a 9-layer cake.
Yeah. Make sense? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it makes sense to me as well. Like, basically, if the Skywalker saga is coming to an end, if we're seeing that definitively line drawn under it, that's the last time we're telling that story in the Star Wars universe, then it makes sense. You know, that story is coming to an end. They're done. They're basically wrapping it up now. And so Mark Hamill's involvement in it coming to an end as well makes so much sense. You know, there's no point continuously drawing it out if it doesn't serve the wider universe and the wider story. You know, there has to be a natural end to telling stories about solely the Skywalkers. You know, there has to be a point where they're allowed to branch out a little bit further, and it's not all somehow tied into this one branch of story. You know, the Star Wars universe is pretty vast. It's nice that they'll be able to kind of cut themselves free from that a little bit and go, okay, now we can do anything, like whatever we want. You know, we've got the freedom to branch out a little bit more, and it's not just all about the Skywalkers. And that for me is a really exciting prospect, because there are so many stories that you can tell when you're not centered on that, like, one through line in the universe.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, you know, the Skywalker story, especially Rise of Skywalker, you know, when you look at the trailer and we've kind of broken it down and talked about it, there's a lot of interesting things. You know, this is the first film that has not only Rogue One and Solo to try to play into the mix too. And the reason why I bring that up is, you know, we see the wreckage of the Death Star. We have the Laugh of the Emperor. You have the Return of Lando, who is obviously in Solo, and it's the first film post-Solo. And when you see Lando Calrissian flying the Falcon again for the first time since he lost the ship to Han, you know, he's wearing a yellow shirt similar to what he wore in Solo, something different than what we've seen in the original trilogy. So, you know, it's tying the young Lando to the older Lando. But it's also the first time that, you know, I fully expect him to make some type of comment about, you know, L3, you know? You know, it's one of those three, you know, it's the first time he gets back on the ship, flies it, and he can converse with someone he was so close to. You know, so we definitely see some of that tying to it. And, you know, I fully expect also to tie to something about Rogue One due to Kyber crystals, either through Jeddah or, you know, something we learned about, you know, the Kyber crystals from Rogue One, or even just Galen or Jyn Erso about, like, the plans for the Death Star, some type of tie-in to it, you know. So it's going to be nice to see how, obviously, Episode 9 ties in all the 8 previous films, but also the other films that have been out there. So it is definitely something to be interesting to see how it plays out. Speaking of The Rise of Skywalker and it kind of wrapping things up, this week we also got a first kind of look at some of the new things coming to The Rise of Skywalker in the form of toys and merchandise. It's going to be at San Diego Comic-Con coming up soon. The first look of our Rise of Skywalker's Sith Trooper, which, without getting into the design of this new trooper, I find this really interesting. I don't think this is First Order trooper, but at all. This is a Sith trooper, and you have to remember, Kylo Ren and Snoke were not Sith. You know, J.J. Abrams was very adamant about them saying they're not Sith. But we have the Return of the Emperor, so I have a weird feeling that this trooper is going to play a kind of a combination Royal Guard / trooper role. And then just like looking at the weaponry that's part of the trooper, like toy packaging, he's got the standard blasters that trooper has, got some sword type thing, and like a force pike type option, kind of like what you saw the Praetorian Guards and Royal Guards use. So I'm kind of excited to see how this character plays into the bigger role of the movies. But first of all, Daniel, what do you think of this Sith trooper? Just the design.
The design is really interesting. Like, the first thing I thought of in terms of, like, the red color is so strikingly like the Praetorian Guards and the Royal Guard kind of thing. Like, that kind of bright, in-your-face color is so interesting. And it also makes me wonder a little bit about why red? Like, red is absolutely not a color that's going to be stealthy or able to, like, hide. It's very much, particularly in, like, a world where all of the previous ones have been, like, either whites or off-whites or black or kind of, like, a sandy colour. You know, a bright red trooper makes me go, ah, you're going to be able to see them from a mile away.
That's very true, very true. You know, we do have, like, we have, like, the troopers, like, the magma trooper from the EU, you know, that was also in red.
Yeah.
You know, we have the Royal Guards and the Praetorian Guards that are also in red. So it makes sense, you know, they're an elite squadron, they don't need any type of anything else, yeah. They need to stand out or something like that.
We also have Cardinal. That for me is where my mind was going, was, like, how competent are these troopers going to be if, for example, they're this brightly colored, like, they don't need to hide? Well, they're probably going to be pretty accurate with their shots, then.
Yeah, we also had Cardinal in the Phasma book. We never saw Cardinal on screen, but had bright red First Order armor. When I saw this, it was really interesting, because it literally is a mashup of what I saw as three different armors at once. It reminds me a little bit of the Force Awakens Stormtrooper armor. The helmet is very reminiscent of that. And then it's also very reminiscent of the Praetorian Guard armor, not just in red color, but the stripes that are on it. Like it looks like someone took like a comb and kind of gave it some texture. So it's got that Praetorian Guard like stripes, but it's also got the look of the First Order Trooper. But it also has, a better mashup of the original Stormtrooper armor than what the First Order armor is. Like, when you look at the chest pieces and then the abdomen armor and the thigh and leg pieces, where it's a little bit more angular versus the smooth that you get of the First Order Stormtrooper. And I think if you scroll down in the post from StarWars.com, when they talk about it, you can actually see a list of kind of all the trooper armors.
Yeah.
That's going to be up at San Diego Comic-Con. And actually, I do have some note about that real quick. The Lucasfilm press release says that these are all screen used and on display. All of these are screen used except for the Biker Scout. The Biker Scout is actually a fan-built armor. And it's actually put together poorly on the mannequin. If you actually look at it, the knee pads are put on upside down on the mannequin. And the cummerbund is really, really, like, sagging. So I will let you know, the Pathfinder, the Biker Scout, is probably is not screen accurate by any means. It's still decent looking armor, but it's not, you know, that's what armor I have, so I can speak to it pretty well. But I know the maker of that. It was a fan-made armor that they have. So I'm sure they will. And actually, the 501st has reached out to Lucasfilm, so I'm sure they will go ahead and update that before it hits the what do you call it, San Diego Comic-Con floor, so it'll at least look correct. And the little things that the 501st took issue with on the weathering and stuff like that, that they'll get fixed and stuff before it's out there. But the one that's on the official press release photo, that is not a screen-used Biker Scout, just up for that. But I know, right?
Well, and
that's something, you know, something that I like.
Of all places to not have a screen-accurate item, San Diego Comic-Con's probably not the best place for that.
Yeah, probably not one of the best places. Well, it's interesting, though. It's the first time that they're doing a Lucasfilm Pavilion. We'll see what it is, because I don't know if they haven't really mentioned if they're actually going to have, like, do a Hall H-type panel or anything like that, because they have D23 right afterwards. But speaking of the Sith Trooper, not only do we have the new action figure that's coming out, that's coming straight from Rise of Skywalker, Geeky Tiki has gotten into it also, making some really cool, Sith Trooper Tiki mug.
The Geeky Tiki stuff. I love it.
Oh, yeah. I had all the original ones that were on ThinkGeek. I got them all at San Diego Comic-Con, at Celebration. I'm super excited. Fifth Son is releasing a t-shirt with the helmet on it, which, like I said, is really cool. It's kind of a mashup of things. And, of course, Funko has got a Sith Trooper pop coming out, too. You know, why wouldn't they have it? As well as hats and pins that are exclusives to San Diego Comic-Con. So if anyone picks up a pin, I would love one. You just hint, nudge, nudge.
Yeah, and just Loungefly, be aware as well, is that some of these items are in limited quantities. So not all of these items are wide release. They will be limited in number. So if you are going to San Diego Comic-Con, make sure to check that post out on StarWars.com, because some of these items are in like very small limited runs. So you are going to want to prioritize what you want to get. So if something that you want is limited, then try and get onto the show floor as soon as you can and go straight for the item that you will be most disappointed on missing out on. Because, yeah, they will go fast.
Yeah, that happened really quick. I know I was in Chicago, and of course the Funkos were a big one. The Lego was a big one. The Funkos, they had a very limited number of them, and you, so much so that you can only go on certain days to get it if you won the raffle to go.
Yeah.
Conveniently, I got what I wanted. And speaking of what I got from the Funko group, they were also tied up with a Loungefly, and I got myself a very cool cartoon, Christmas holiday special Boba Fett backpack. The cartoon coloring Boba Fett backpack. But Loungefly is releasing a unisex backpack for the Sith Trooper, which I will say looks pretty cool. I don't need another backpack, but I will say the Loungefly backpacks are very nice. So if you are interested in having some Star Wars style bag, definitely take a look at that too. So I'm excited for the Sith Trooper. I have no clue how it's going to be used other than if the Emperor's back, you know, if this is like his most loyal guards that are beyond, maybe this is what's underneath the Royal Guards, maybe underneath that cloaks, they take that off and it's the armor and then they switch it out to a tactical helmet. That is the Sith Trooper helmet. Who knows? Because it is a mashup. It's not really a First Order helmet. It's a mashup of the First Order and maybe a Death Trooper helmet, which is kind of cool. Anyway, moving on. Since we talked a little bit about D23 is coming up also. And we mentioned that. But guess what? D23 also has the Mandalorian there. Mandalorian is headed directly to it. I am beyond excited for The Mandalorian to be coming out. That's going to be released with Disney Plus in November. But on Friday, August 23rd at 3:30 p.m. in Hall D23, you'll get an exclusive sneak peek of the upcoming live-action series, The Mandalorian. Executive produced by Jon Favreau and joined by Dave Filoni. I am really interested to see if they'll release an official trailer for this. Obviously, there's been leaks and pieces and stuff that's been shown to fans at Star Wars Celebration, but they haven't officially released a trailer or anything other than the logo for The Mandalorian. I was at the Mandalorian panel in Celebration, and as we were watching it, I was actually in full armor costume sitting with another friend from Kentucky there, and they said, okay, put your phones away, it cut away, and they showed us some footage. And my wife was with my daughter, who was napping at the time in the hotel room, and she was watching the panel streamed live, from the Star Wars show online, and it literally had a countdown, like a 3-minute countdown timer until it would come back, because they did not show the footage.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Because it stops people from ripping it straight from the stream and then pushing it around everywhere. They did that at Star Wars Celebration Europe when it was in London. Like, there were versions of, like, trailers and additional footage at the end of some of the trailers that were different from the ones that were then released online. So they were, like, they kept some stuff completely exclusive to the event. And I guess that just incentivizes people to go. It makes it so that, you can't just sit at home and get everything as well. You will get certain unique things when you do go to these events. On the flip side, it does mean that, there's not really a lot of official stuff out there about The Mandalorian, so all you can do is take people at face value of what they've said when they have been able to see it. So, I'm with you. It would be really nice to get something released online. Anything, a trailer would be great. Like, I would just love to see something more than what we've got so far, just so that I can get a sense and a feeling of what the show is going to be like.
So in Chicago, they showed not only like a 3-minute like trailer per se, like a sizzle reel.
Yeah,
I guess is the best thing to describe it as. But then after the panel ended, and it was really awkward because people started to get up. They're like, "Okay, now no one get like." Jon Favreau got up like with his mic. He's like, "All right, no one get up." You didn't think that's all we had? And then they treated us to like another 20 minutes of footage from the show.
Whoa!
And see. Yeah. And not a lot of that hasn't shown up because they were like Jon Favreau kind of said, like, please put away your phones. I'm going to have security walking around because it was a good chunk of it. So I haven't really seen, other than like a really bad version of the footage. And even then, like, you can see it, like, it didn't get the whole thing. It got cut out before it ended. You know, makes sense. But yeah, so it was amazing. Like the show, like, is something that I am beyond excited for. We do know that it's going to be 8 episodes as the first season on Disney Plus. We haven't got any information on how it's being released. Is it going to be all dumped so you can binge watch The Mandalorian, or is it going to be, you know, a weekly thing until all 8 episodes are out? We'll just have to wait and see. But that is going to be at D23 in August. So it'd be kind of nice to see what they talk about right before the opening of Galaxy's Edge in Florida, and see if there'll be any Mandalorian tie-in to the part of that celebration or anything. Any thoughts on Mandalorian heading to D23?
I'm just hoping that more stuff manages to make its way online in an official capacity. I would like to see it come out, because at this point I'm kind of like itching to get more than just, you know, reading text and seeing really blurry footage of literally anything that I can get my hands on. Because it's shaky hands and shaky camera. Yeah. I really want to just get a good look at it in whatever way that Disney wants us to see it. Because I'm really excited for the potential of this show. I'm really excited to see what they're going to do with it. But at the moment, I'm, like, in that anticipatory kind of, like, in-between bit where I'm like, I know that there's going to be more information, I just don't know if I'm going to be able to see it.
It's amazing. Like, it's honestly, I think it's going to become a fan favorite very early on and quick. Speaking of The Mandalorian, Gina Carino has talked to Entertainment Online about her experience with shooting The Mandalorian and working with Jon Favreau, saying that those two things has made her life a different world. And I'll be honest with you, seeing her at the Mandalorian panel in Chicago, it definitely felt that way. She was completely blown away with the reception that she got and everything. To quote her, "He looked at me before my big scene, one of my biggest introductory scenes in The Mandalorian, and he was like, 'We're going to change your trajectory right now,' she recalled. 'I think he's a very honest man, and he's seen the struggle, and he's seen what happens to careers, and he's like, we're going to change your path right now. He's like, from here on out, you're going to choose jobs that are complimenting you, and you're going to choose jobs that challenge you. You're going to believe in yourself from this scene forward." She actually went on to kind of talk a little bit about this experience at Celebration, mm-hmm. but it's one of those things where, you know, she talked about how different Mandalorian is, where she has, this is her most complex role she's ever had. Obviously, she's been in things like Deadpool, some of the Fast and the Furious, you know, video games and stuff like that. And
I
movies.
Love her from Fast and the
But she didn't have a lot of dialogue. You know, she was a former MMA, fighter. So, you know, it's one of those things, kind of like how, I guess you would say, The Rock got his start as a wrestler.
Yeah.
She definitely came from a different world. But she completely embodies the type of character she's going to be. She's a former rebel shock trooper. And we don't know much beyond that, other than that she was blown away by the positive vibe she felt there in The Mandalorian. And she was also blown away by the fans that made it into the show. Like, the 501st, they didn't have enough stormtroopers for some of the scenes that they were shooting. And Lucasfilm called the 501st, didn't tell them what they were doing, and had some stormtroopers just show up. And sure enough, they spent 3 days filming with them. And amazing. They're like, these guys were like total pros. So I am beyond excited, not just about Mandalorian, but to see Gina Carano, not only a strong woman being one of the leads here, but just as an actress, her kind of coming into her own and really stepping into the light so she can move on to whatever's next for her. So I'm excited for this.
And it's that same thing of, like, Star Wars and Disney don't need to hire big-name stars. They don't need to put people into these films where they're, like, star quality, like, massive celebrity. They don't need that to draw people in to watch these films. Instead, it's the other way around. They take whoever they feel is the best person for that role. And it doesn't matter who they are. They can be just starting out. They could be a relative unknown. They could be coming from, like, a completely different industry. They could be involved in, like, online content or exclusively online content. You know, it could be anyone. And we've seen that happen with, like, Daisy Ridley and John Boyega and just so many people. Kelly Marie Tran. And now Gina Carano. Like, these people are made stars by virtue of the fact of the role and the work that they do on Star Wars, and it's never the other way around. And I think that's such a powerful place to be in, and it kind of speaks to that whole thing of, like, you know, from this day forward, we're changing your path. You're going to choose the jobs that are complementing you. And it gives these actors such courage to be able to go out and actually take the roles that they want to work for, and they want to do, and they want to embody, rather than, you know, taking the parts that maybe they're not feeling so much just because, you know, that's the part that they could get, you know. And it's such a testament to the power of Star Wars just in general that, you know, this is a worldwide phenomenon at this point. You know, people, when they get attached to these actors embodying these roles in Star Wars, you know, they'll tend to follow their career wherever they go. And no matter what form that takes. So it's actually really encouraging and really, it's really cool to see him say that to her. Like, I love it.
Yeah, and the fact that we're 123 days away from The Mandalorian,
mm-hmm.
you know, premiering, I'm all into it. I'm super excited to see it. And like I said, Pedro Pascal, his character, this show is going to be, it's the first. We've never had a live-action Star Wars TV show. You know, we've had everything from Star Trek to Stargate to Battlefront, to Battlestar, all these other great sci-fi shows in different, you know, fandoms. We've never had a live-action Star Wars TV show. And this is the first, and it is just a... Everything we've seen, heard, read about it, like, I am just beyond pumped for it. So, I can't wait. And, yeah, except we're 123 days away from it. Speaking of something else I can't wait for, at E3... We had a special announcement. Obviously, there's lots and lots of talk about the latest Star Wars game from Visceral Studio, but the Star Wars game that I'm most excited for is the new LEGO Star Wars game. LEGO had previously been rumored to be working on a 9-film saga, the Star Wars saga game. The last LEGO Star Wars game was purely on The Force Awakens, with no follow-up made for The Last Jedi. And we now know why. It's because TT Games has decided to opt to make a comprehensive title covering the prequels, original, and sequel trilogies in one big game. It is not currently known if they're going to simply redo or remaster the original prequel game or the original trilogy, or if they're going to have it completely redone with new content added. But I am sure whatever they do, it's going to be absolutely amazing. They released the official trailer. I don't know, Tanya, if you had a chance to see this. It's only a minute long.
I did, yes. Because I love the Star Wars LEGO games, like, so much. Like, more than anything, they are so much fun, and they're so creative and entertaining. And it's just that idea of, like, turning LEGO into something real and reenacting it. There's something just so charming about it. So I've always really loved the LEGO Star Wars games.
Yeah, I the Lego Star Wars games have always been kind of fun. Obviously, there's the Lego humor that's in it, which is always good to see and experience and have fun with it. But the cast of playable characters is said to be in the hundreds. Now, obviously, I'm thinking back to the prequel one and the original trilogy one, and I also had the Force Awakens game. But as I'm thinking about it, I'm like, there's a couple, there's probably about 100-ish or 80-ish characters in each of those games. So the fact that there's going to be hundreds tells me they're going to take all the characters from all of them, plus maybe a few extra. They're talking about, like, it's also believed that the game will feature expanded universe content or Legends content. So stuff from the non-Skywalker saga. So we'll see if they'll have like stuff from Solo or Rogue One, or if they'll bring in characters like Mara Jade, who've been rumored to be floating around the Star Wars universe and coming back in some capacity at some point in time. Or even just other characters like Darth Bane or something like that that may end up in future series that Disney goes into. But who knows? I'm just excited for this game because it's, you know, Lego Star Wars.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love Legos?
Exactly.
Right? Okay. And the last bit of news we have is Galaxies of Adventure. I am a huge fan of Star Wars Galaxies of Adventures. I love showing these little shorts to my daughter. But we have a couple new ones. The latest one that I want to focus on is Chewie and the Ewoks. It's only like 2 or 3 minutes long. I don't remember how long it is, but I have some thoughts about this, Daniel. What did you think about when you saw this Galaxy Adventure episode?
I mean, for me, like, the thing that I love the most about just these Galaxy of Adventures stuff in general is just how much I love the animation. Like, the actual animation style is so, so, so good. But yeah, it's just, they're so interesting, just generally. Like, the animated content in general for Star Wars is always really strong, but there's something about these little shorts that just kind of get me really excited about animation again. Like, they're just, it's really neat storytelling in a very short amount of time, but also getting to see them trying to take down an AT-ST is just, like, so cool.
Yeah, I'll say this. There's a couple things that this short stood out specifically. One, I'm still of the mindset that with Disney making all these live-action remakes of their classic animation films, they just need to go on full-on in and remake the original trilogy in this animation style and release, you know, not a special edition, but, like, the original trilogy animation, you know, like Galaxy Adventures, Star Wars, the original trilogy. Boom, and just play it that way. It doesn't have to be line for line the same. It could be liberties taken, kind of like what they've done here, in not just this sequence, but in all of the Galaxy Adventure ones. I think it'd be just really, really cool to see something like that. But this one specifically, I love Chewie and the Ewoks. In fact, my daughter was wearing a t-shirt that says Fuzzy and Furious today and had a picture of Chewbacca and the Ewoks on it. But this short right here, when I showed it to my daughter, I vaguely was like, man, these Ewoks are kind of scary looking. Like, when you see them kind of like swing in, like, their face and stuff, like, they're like the animation style is awesome, but they're like, yeah, it's definitely, they're furry little Ewoks that are kind of rabid and scary, but that's kind of cool though, because they're Ewoks and, you know, they did take out, you know, the Empire. It also makes me question, when I was thinking about this, is what were they cooking and feeding to the rebels after the Battle of Endor and Return of the Jedi? We saw empty stormtrooper helmets, and I'm like thinking about this. I'm like, they were going to cook Luke and Han and Chewbacca, but Force 3PO told them not to, and they have empty stormtrooper helmets that they're playing drums on. I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to leave that thought. That's the thought just, about the Ewoks here. I'm
just leave that out there. Let you chew on that.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, that's a good pun there. Anyway. just think about that. Anyone like barbecue? Anyway. Danya, anything else about the news this week that you want to revisit? Kind of say last two you know, last 2 cents, last thoughts, closing thoughts?
No, I mean, just that there's so much that's exciting about, like, Star Wars right now. In terms of, like, over the next few months, just generally, that it's going to change basically the entire face of what Star Wars is moving forward. Because obviously they've scaled back, like, the frequency of production now. So once the Skywalker saga ends, it's basically, that's open doors to, like, what comes next.
Who knows what.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's just, like, so exciting as new things start, like, kind of coming out. And it's nothing massive, obviously, because The Rise of Skywalker isn't out yet. So I guess once that is done and the line is drawn under it, we'll get, you know, more frequency of, like, what the Star Wars universe is going to look like after that point. But for now, like, these little glimpses, these teases, these hints, it's all really exciting. It's just kind of like, you know that moment where you're like, you're not ready for the Skywalker saga to be done, but you're also ready for it to be done because you're like, what comes next? That's where I'm at right now.
I get that. And I'll be honest with you, we talked about Celebration in Anaheim in August of 2020. I will tell you this, if you're listening, that would be one show to try to go to. Just because after Rise of Skywalker, we don't know what's coming next, kind of like what you said, mm-hmm. Danya. And this gives Lucasfilm a year to prepare, to announce, to kind of get our appetites wet. Not only are we celebrating the 40th anniversary of Empire Strikes Back, but we'll have something, they'll announce something, show us something exclusive that will be absolutely amazing in California. So definitely worth, I think, that show is going to be a really unique show because it's not tied directly to any new stuff coming out directly. So we'll just have to wait and see what it is. So I'm excited to see what we have, what they've already planned for the next 5 years and what we're going to find out in the next year or two. And just compare this to what we saw with Solo's release. The amount of Star Wars news, the excitement around Star Wars, you know, the trailers and just the talk and everything. It's night and day difference, especially considering we know we have a new Force Friday happening. That's going to be Triple Force Friday with stuff for Mandalorian, stuff for Rise of Skywalker, and stuff for Clone Wars all being released at the same time. So,
yeah.
Should be really excited to see how that all plays out. So. All right. Well, thank you all for listening to another episode of Resistance Radio. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at @RRadioPodcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/ResistanceRadioPodcast. Remember to visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/ResistanceRadioPodcast. And as always, I'm Mikey.
I'm Danya.
And may the Force be with you.
And also with you.